WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, and in one of the biggest criminal cases arising out of the January 6th riot here, correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
A federal jury has found Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes guilty of seditious conspiracy in connection with the January 6th riots,
which were aimed at keeping then-President Donald Trump in power.
This is a big win for the Department of Justice.
Legal analyst Jessica Levinson at Loyola Law.
What prosecutors had to prove here, according to the statute, is that Stuart Rhodes tried to put down, overthrow, or destroy the government.
And they proved it to the jury's satisfaction. In addition to Rhodes, one other defendant was also convicted of that crime. Three others were found not guilty of the most serious charge, but all five were convicted of lesser ones as well. At the World Cup of Soccer, the U.S. team had to win to stay alive. It did, and it is.
When the final whistle sounded,
and the game is over!
There was celebration on the pitch for the Americans. The call on Fox Sports. In a do-or-die match, the U.S. lived to play another day. The U.S.'s Tim Weah.
I always say it's us against the world because no one believed that, U.S. can play good football. And, you know, I'm just really happy that, you know, we're through to the next round.
Next for the Americans, a quarterfinal match against the Netherlands, the world's eighth-ranked team. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The president now wants Congress to head off a possible railroad strike threatened for next month. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy.
It's unfortunate that we're here because I know the president told us all that this was solved long before the election. And now we find ourselves in the last moments, in the last hours, asking us to rush a bill to the floor.
And also on Capitol Hill, up for a vote later today on the other side in the Senate, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act, federal guarantees of rights to same-sex and interracial marriages. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer expecting some Republican votes.
Pushing respect for marriage over the finish line required patience, persistence, and today it's paying off.
There are warnings of dangerous long-range tornadoes across the mid and deep south into the evening. At highest risk, apparently historic Vicksburg in Jackson, Mississippi. Mallory White with the State Emergency Management Agency.
We ask people to make sure you have at least 72 hours worth of food and water and have that ready to go at all times.
It is a very belated Thanksgiving family reunion now in Texas, some 51 years in the making.
22-month-old baby Melissa was abducted in 1971. It's believed she was taken by her babysitter. This weekend's family reunion came after her biological father submitted a DNA test showing a match with a woman now named Melanie Brown.
Checking the financial markets, it was a mixed finish on Wall Street, the Dow up slightly. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil keeps going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. That's the sound of a producing oil well and the sound of a smart investment. If you're a serious and qualified SEC-accredited investor, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects. The U.S. government needs your investment in oil and is allowing you to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Goldman Sachs is projecting oil to go up to $100 a barrel. Call 800-278-7455. Encore Energy is a very active oil and gas operator in its core area of operations. Call now and learn how to deduct 100% of your investment and create 20 or more years of potential monthly income. Get this big tax deduction for 2022. Hurry before it's too late. Call 800-278-7455. That's 800-278-7455.
As a mom and a teacher, I've done it all. Fundraisers, field trips, school assemblies. It's what we do for our children. Whether you're a public school parent, educator, or both, we share one goal: giving our children the best education. The Wisconsin Education Association Council looks forward this school year to partnering with you. Our children's success depends on it. Join us at weac.org. Welcome back to school.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. A $1 million bond has been set for 78-year-old Miles Bradley, who is facing a charge of first-degree homicide in the killing of Clarence Banks, age 92, on November 27th in the town of Amherst. A correction to the report yesterday, Banks was visiting an individual who was his relative and resided in the home where Bradley also lives, but Banks did not live there himself. Bradley was arguing with the individual in the house when he armed himself and shot Banks when he walked up the stairs from the basement. It is expected Bradley will be formally charged on December 19th. Authorities are warning residents to be careful of porch pirates during the holiday shopping season. Many orders are delivered when residents are not home and are easy targets for theft. Authorities suggest leaving a note for your carrier suggesting a safe place to put the package or have a neighbor or friend pick it up for you. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Rain likely, then mixing with and changing to all snow tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 19. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 24. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 11. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show was brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And if you need health insurance and you don't know where to start, MNsure has free expert help that will walk you through your options and find a plan that saves you money. You can find out more at MNsure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I don't know. I haven't talked to you. We were talking about how great the show is going to be because we have Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, and MN 350 on today on Tuesdays. And it snowed about 8 inches down here in the Twin Cities. And I know we're all over Civic Media Network in Wisconsin. We're live on 10 stations all across Turtle Island here. And I know our relatives in Wisconsin just had a little rain. But what happened up there?
You know where I'm at? We didn't really get too much of anything. It was just really cold and gray and kind of dreary. It was one of those days where you just kind of drag your feet and wear warm socks. So I'm sorry you were shoveling all day, but I hope that we see some more of that snow coming around further north. We know that Minnesota's been in drought the last few years. And what's funny about Minnesota is it's not always the rain that we're missing in the summer. It's actually the snow that we're missing in the winter. So really hoping we get some more snow here as we come into the winter.
Oh, absolutely. And we're all over Turtle Island on the radio. And right now we're live on Facebook Live and YouTube. And Ogama's camera's not working. So it's hard for me to converse with her. It's really weird. But we talk about the news that you don't hear anywhere else here on Native Roots Radio, and I want to hand it over to Ogama right now, and then after that we're going to have Nancy Bolio of MN350. So welcome again, Ogama.
Hey, Anim Buju, everybody. This is Ogama Ganua Kwe. For those of you who are watching online, my camera isn't working today, and I'm sorry about that. But I promise I am here live and in the flesh today, and we've got some news. The big one that I wanted to talk about is the Minnesota Supreme Court oral argument on the PolyMet water pollution permit is actually beginning tomorrow at 10 a.m. So that's tomorrow morning, November 30th at 10 a.m. is the oral argument on the Minnesota Supreme Court for the PolyMet water pollution permit. It's actually going to be the second case that's heard for oral arguments tomorrow. If you arrive at around 9 a.m., you could wait for a seat in the Supreme Court courtroom courtroom on the second floor of the Minnesota State Capitol. And then overflow seating will be available in the auditorium of the Judicial Center, which is located next to the Minnesota State Capitol, if the courtroom reaches capacity. And the team at Water Legacy will actually have a debriefing of the oral argument tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. You can RSVP on their website, which is waterlegacy.org, or go to the Eventbrite page for that. But the PolyMet water pollution permit appeal is an ongoing issue with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency since about December of 2018. The water pollution permit was issued by the MPCA like any other state administrative decision, but is being challenged within the Minnesota Court of Appeals. And the reason that this is being requested to be overturned is because there's some really major deficiencies on the draft PolyMet permit. And the EPA professional staff did not agree to withhold their comments. The MPCA had asked the EPA, so the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency asked a federal agency to withhold its comments on the PolyMet water pollution permit because the EPA had some rather scathing statements to make on it. And it was a really unprecedented request. And the comments to the MPCA for the EPA were read over the phone, and those things are not included in the public record. And these things happened, the evidentiary hearing for these happened between January of 2020 and September of 2020. And they have issued findings and conclusions on the order of that. But they found for the first time in Minnesota history that MPCA's actions in issuing the PolyMet water pollution permit included irregularities in the procedure in destroying notes and official records. So that is what is being heard in the Minnesota Supreme Court tomorrow, or at least one of the cases that are being heard tomorrow. And I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that update. You can definitely find some more information at waterlegacy.org or by going over to the Minnesota Supreme Court website and finding out more information about that. That has a lot to do with the Fond du Lac tribe because the PolyMet permits really affect the area up near Duluth. And Fond du Lac is closest to that area. And Fond du Lac Nation is currently experiencing some leftover residual issues regarding the Line 3 pipeline construction as well, and had to halt their wild rice harvesting this year. So, you know, our prayers are up there with the people of Fond du Lac and the people of Duluth for the major environmental things that are to be happening up there in the next couple of years if these permits aren't put down. Robert, I just wanted to talk a little bit too. Have you heard about the Hawaii volcano eruption yet?
Yeah, I did. But can we just back up a second? And PolyMet, and I think all the people up there should be upset about getting that water dirty up there, no matter if you were a person that liked what was going on with our Line 3. This is something that's going to really mess up things. So really good to bring that forward too. And yeah, I did hear about the volcano eruption, which is, you know, we used to have a person come on every week or once a month or so, that Kayla Kelly, that was working with on Hawaii and the Mauna Kea, the telescope. Yeah, what happened up there?
Yeah, so the eruption of Mauna Loa isn't currently immediately endangering any towns, but officials have told people to be ready for the worst. So there's about 200,000 people on the Big Island of Hawaii that could be in some pretty dangerous situations, depending on what happens with Mauna Loa. Right now, they don't really know where the flow of lava is going to go, and they don't know how long it's going to last. It has not erupted now in about 38 years. So it was about 38 years since this last erupted. And the pictures that are coming out from Hawaii are, they're beautiful, but they're eerie. And the people of Hawaii and the Big Island right now are definitely on edge, and our prayers need to be out with them, that they are being vigilant and have a plan for what to do should they need to evacuate. More than a third of the island's residents live west of the volcano, about 23,000 people, and about 45,000 people in two different cities. And then they were worried about some subdivisions south of the volcano, which are home to about 5,000 people. So we'll kind of be following this as we can find out more about it as AP News and other places continue to follow this. I haven't seen anything come out from any of the Hawaiian sources that I usually follow just yet, but pictures. So we'll just keep following it and put our prayers up for the people of Hawaii and the volcano there.
Hey, Ogama, I always appreciate opening up the show with some great news segments that, again, you don't hear this stuff anywhere else. So I really appreciate you keeping our people and our allies all over Turtle Island updated on these, and me. So I really appreciate you. And up next, we're going to have Nancy Bolio, Ogama, with MN350. Always a big crowd pleaser, and people love to hear from Nancy. All right, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
Electricity costs have hit historic highs, and they're likely to continue rising with no end in sight. If you own a business, those are costs that are eating away at your bottom line. But switching to All Energy Solar can help you see green instead of red. A system from All Energy Solar offers a bankable investment with energy costs that won't rise along with fossil fuels. So stop renting your energy from the utility company, because the rent keeps going up. Solar tax incentives are strong, returning up to 60% of your investment. But those credits will decrease in 2023. And with more businesses switching to solar, capacity is limited. That's why reserving your spot on the grid now has never been more critical. All Energy Solar has the experience of installing over 6,000 systems for all sorts of properties in the Midwest and beyond. Get a free no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar's commercial solar specialists today by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by MNsure. MNsure can help you find a plan that covers your prescriptions and saves you money. You can visit mnsure.org to get started.
Hey, we just had Nancy Bolio on, and now she disappeared, so we're going to have to...
Oh, no.
We're going to have to talk to her. No camera. Oh, here she comes. She's coming back.
That's okay, Robert. You know what I have that Nancy was so gracious to provide me that we haven't been able to do on Native Roots Radio yet is we actually have a land acknowledgement, if it's all right with you.
Ogama and Nancy's here. You know, my land acknowledgement is, I always put a swear word in it, but I can't do that on radio, but it's like, give us our land back, darn it. But go ahead, Ogama.
Sure. So here on Native Roots Radio, we respectfully acknowledge that we live on the lands of the Anishinaabe, Lakota, Dakota, and Ho-Chunk nations. They have lived harmoniously with these lands and waters for countless generations before the onslaught of colonization. Like indigenous peoples across the Americas and most of the world, they experienced genocide, ethnic cleansing, theft of their land and waters, and forced removal. Their and our ability to live, work, and enjoy this area is connected to their inner profound loss. We ask all in our community, including our governing bodies, to respect and honor tribal sovereignty, self-determination, and to learn the true history of the lands on which we reside. We resolve to work with and build a shared sustainable future for all.
Wow, that was awesome. Welcome, Nancy. I see your camera's off here, too. Nancy Bolio, MN350, great to see you or hear from you. And always tell us a little bit about that land acknowledgement, if you don't mind.
Well, you know, this is Native American Heritage Month. And I think, you know, just as people, just as, you know, being treaty people, I think it's in our best interest, no matter what space we're in, that we acknowledge the land we're on to help spread the word of, you know, those treaty partners that signed those treaties with our ancestor. They still benefit from these treaties. And so our goal is to build that awareness through land acknowledgement. But then again, you know, thinking about Native American Heritage Month, this ain't, you know, a month where we're celebrating who we are. I mean, we're going to celebrate every day because we're still here, and I'm proud to still be here and continue the work that our ancestors did to protect our way of life. So I think, you know, thinking about Native American Heritage Month, this is, for me, a month of awakening, a month of teaching people, and making a commitment to make sure that we honor our treaties, be good treaty people, and continue to do all this good work, you know, throughout the whole year. Because, Robert, I think we're onto something good here. I think in the last few years, we just keep getting better and better at what we do.
Yeah, you definitely do. And one of the things, if you don't mind, I want to switch gears just a second here. And I've been talking to, yesterday we had Dr. Stately as our guest, and asked him how and if you celebrated Thanksgiving. And I know it's great. You know, I'm thankful for a lot of people that are in my life, and I let them know that. But there's also a deep-seated hangover that us Native Americans have for this day.
Right. And I think, you know, the trauma is like instilled into us from, you know, even before we were born, you know, and I think it's really difficult for us to gather around the table on Thanksgiving and celebrate, you know, to what the Americans thought was a victory, you know, the slaughter of 700 Native people. And so Thanksgiving is actually celebrating that victory. And, you know, I think if people want to choose to celebrate Thanksgiving, I think it's also an opportunity for people to share the real history of what happened to our people and making sure that, you know, that that narrative is out there, because our history books don't talk about it. So it's people like ourselves that create these kind of spaces and make that happen. So myself, I don't celebrate that day. And I choose, and that's a personal choice. But there's every day is a good day to be Indigenous. So, you know, it's just nice to revitalize who I am. And so I don't like to use the term decolonize. I want to revitalize the Indigenous way of who I am and what our ancestors fought for.
You know, every time we talk, I feel like I get a little slogan that I could make a T-shirt out of. So I'm going to write that one down, too. Ho!
Give me 10%, Robert. But you can donate. So anyone out there listening, honestly, there's a lot of goodness at 350. And again, you know, with the support of Minnesota 350 and our allies, we couldn't do this work, Robert. So, you know, moving on to Native American Heritage Month is a perfect opportunity to continue to support our work, show up in movement spaces. And again, you know, really quick, Robert, this week our non-Native defendants for the Firelight encampment are waiting on a ruling from the judge, and they're hoping to get their cases dismissed because, again, you know, they were invited under our invitation to be there, and so they were lawfully present. And again, it's not a crime to assert treaties, it's a crime to deny those treaty rights. So I want all of our listeners and all of our relatives, you know, to make sure that we pray that our non-Native allies, who are a fine example of what a good treaty person looks like, that their cases be dismissed. And so we hope we get good news this week. And if not, then it's on to trial. And that's all I can say about that for now. And, you know, a big shout out to our allies again, because our work is actually made possible by their support.
Yeah, and don't we have Give to the Max again coming up? Is it this week? And I think, you know, one of the things, MN350 is always a good organization to donate to.
Right. And, you know, I just gave a shout out to 350 last week for letting them, allowing us to define our space and what the work looks like. Because again, you know, we know our communities, we know who our leaders are, we know what the issues are, we know what the challenges are, and we know what the solutions are. And I think, you know, if we get back to that treaty obligation to live in peace, to be a good neighbor, and to leave the earth in a better way, I think there's a lot of goodness coming forward. So again, you know, I think this month is a month where we kick off what we can do better for the next 11 months. And we want to brag about it next Native American Heritage Month in November 2023, because I think, you know, there's so much more we can do, and that's what we're about.
Wow, that's excellent. Hey, we only got a couple minutes, but what I would like you to do, because we have more and more stations jumping on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island, is just maybe explain a little bit what the 350 means in Minnesota 350.
Oh, it's the amount of carbon in the air, and 350 is the threshold where, you know, we don't want to go above that. And anything above that is actually detrimental to the health and well-being of all living things, the water, the air, everything. So I think last time I looked, we were at 411. So our goal at Minnesota 350 is to find solutions that, you know, address pollution and how we can actually live in a better way. And again, it's all up to us again, Robert. We never talk about the individual carbon footprint. So I'm going to ask you all to boycott, you know, those fast food coffees and all those things out there, because again, you know, they're unhealthy for us in the first place. But the amount of garbage, especially when we think about Christmas, actually December, we have 27% more waste in December, Robert. And so we should really give the gift of giving, like helping a neighbor, you know, maybe help someone fix their house, or, you know, take the elder out grocery shopping. These are the kind of gifts we should be giving, where we take care of each other. And so I encourage people not to give gifts, but to give from the heart and help your neighbor, your elderly, the sick people, you know, give in that kind of way.
You know, I always like saying our tagline here too. We're with Nancy Bolio of MN350, and it's a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And again, there's a t-shirt right there, Nancy.
Right. I know. I think I tried to give you one last time I saw you, but you know what? Anyway, you know, I think we're going to go into a commercial break here shortly. But again, before we do that, I want to make sure that we give a shout out to, you know, all of our allies and our water protectors out there that are, you know, still on the front line. So another way to give is to support the camps that are out there, people that, you know, could really use that type of help with the good fight, Robert, that's still out there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's, again, it's really good to bring these things up weekly, daily, that we are Native. And, you know, Bob Blake talks about this a lot on our show. And one of the things I want to bring up to you and to our audience is that Native Americans are like the last line of defense right now with our climate and climate justice. And, you know, you prove it. We have, you know, Honor the Earth here. We have all these organizations, Nance.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to, again, you know, tell.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com.
Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive, locally owned and putting you and the community first.
You can complete your home improvement projects, consolidate bills, or make large purchases and more with a home equity line of credit or HELOC loan from Key Savings Bank. You can put your home's equity to work for you today. At Key Savings Bank, there is no application fee, pre-approval in 48 hours, and you can apply online or with one simple call. Put your home's equity to work for you with Key Savings Bank, where you'll feel right at home. 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and in the town of Rome. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The way we use our homes is changing. And as your local Carrier experts, we're here to help you improve your indoor comfort. From optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier, we're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier.
Carrier is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm Naheem Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. 27-year-old California man William Comfort is scheduled to enter a plea today to three charges of theft in Marathon County in a scam targeting the elderly. Comfort is allegedly part of a potentially organized crime ring perpetrating an aggressive form of the grandparent scam, where a distraught individual calls someone pretending to be their grandchild and asking for bail money. This scheme takes it a step further with someone like Comfort showing up at their doorstep to collect the bail money in person. According to WSAW Channel 7, court documents show that Comfort posed as an attorney and a bondsman in the scam. He is also facing charges in Waupaca and Taylor counties. The FBI is assisting with the investigation. Brett Favre wants a judge to let him out of a lawsuit over Mississippi's misspent welfare money. Favre has not been charged, but evidence shows he knew that millions of dollars he was paid for speeches was tied to the state's welfare program. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Rain likely, then mixing with and changing to all snow tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 19. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 24. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 11. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Auto body shops say they're booked out until March as more drivers choose to fix their cars than buy new. Deer are most active at dawn and at dusk. In sports, Badger men's basketball hosts Wake Forest tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
South Minneapolis. Visit their website at scotchamamas.com.
Oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and Minsure. If you or somebody you know need health insurance, Minsure has a plan that covers you for your family's doctor's visits. Go to Minsure.org to find free help.
Hey, thanks, Ogama. Hey, we're here with Nancy Boley of MN350, and we talked a little bit about what MN350 does. And one of the things that popped up here on our screen, Nancy, was let's talk a little bit about the Frontline Fund and what that is, and how it's funded and who gets the money. And I think it's a very unique way and streamlined way to help people that are in this fight for climate justice.
Right. The Frontline Fund is a commitment to aid frontline workers with microfinancing for the purpose that fall within certain categories like emergency relief funds for those that are directly impacted by climate justice. So, I remember some of our frontline warriors that were, in camp every day, all day, and a lot of treaty knowledge this person brought, him and his wife. We helped them with some repair on their car because we knew they were there. They gave everything they had, and they were just, our everyday warriors showing up, and they didn't have a lot of money, and we needed to support them so they could support us. So it kind of, it kind of works that way, Robert. That's always, Native's role anyway. And we also have grants to help support and connect the leaders within the BIPOC communities. So some of our leaders have projects they're working on or an event or something like that. They might need a little financial help with that. So that's one way we can help support these people on the front line. And I guess, again, like I said earlier, if you can't literally physically be there, please give to these frontline funds because the requests, they're there. And we want to be able to make sure that we're supporting the people that, make huge sacrifices away from their families and, their own communities. They come from afar, usually from one tribe to the next. We're traveling around trying to help each other. But I want to make sure that we also give them the opportunity to grow in the climate movement here in Minnesota. So sometimes we have people that are on the front lines. And, like myself, I went to Standing Rock and never imagined I'd be, even having this little segment with you, Robert, but I grew movement. And it was because people gave me opportunity and people believed in me. And they also supported me when I needed to get somewhere, because again, most of our relatives were poor folks. So again, we want to be able to support individuals and communities that cannot easily access other sources of funds. So a lot of the times, the people that are on the front lines, we don't get a lot of support from our tribes or our communities or our people around us that who care about what we care about because they too, are financially strapped. So this is one way, one of the best ways you can help our folks on the front line. And they're always there, Robert.
Well, and exactly, and especially with what's going on here in Minnesota, not only did we fight Line 3, we also have the polymet mines that we're talking about that are coming up here real soon. And, we need to stand tall, and we have people that support our actions and support the way we feel about these dirty mines and pipelines. Nancy, how can people? I see the site. Ogama put the site up, mn350.org/frontline fund. People can click on that and directly go there and pop in some money.
Right, and I want to I can't stress it enough, Robert, how these funds are important to people that are out there doing the real work, you know, and a lot of the times these people can't commit to a full-time job because they're basically on call when things happen and when we need them to be there. And they're also in camp, you know, teaching culture and sharing stories and things like that. So I think it's important that we continue to support our warriors on the front line and you know, that link is there. And if you can't afford to give today, you can always find us at mn350.org, or you can find us on Facebook and just search it and you'll find a way that you can give. So again, you know, thinking about Native American Heritage Month, and when we talk about, you know, protecting our waters from Line 3 or talent mining and all this, you know, these critical infrastructures, I think we really need to work harder at land back moving forward. Again, you know, it's not just the physical give it back kind of thing that most people would think. It is actually where the tribes have a part of that conversation, decision in these huge projects that undermine our self-determination and disregard our treaties. You know, we got to change all that, Robert, and we got to keep doing this work by, you know, showing up in every space possible and showing up in a good way and letting them know, you know, that we're all treaty people and that treaties weren't, you know, just signed to protect our culture, but it was all living things. That includes our non-Native peoples. So, yeah, I think land back is critical, and I think, you know, some of these camps are kind of, you know, kind of a good example of, you know, the way we should be living and the way that we should think about what the future might look like. So I would, you know, highly recommend that people give to our Frontline Fund.
You know, you talked a little bit about Standing Rock, and that's how this show started, Nancy. We were going to, Wendy and I were going to Standing Rock three or four times to drop off supplies and money and things like that during Standing Rock. And prior to that, I saw we were protesting downtown St. Paul in a couple places, and then a group put on a protest that I saw on Facebook or somewhere, and I went down with it, and we were, you know, 20, 30 of us Natives with signs and protesting Stop Dapple, and an MN350 had a action down there, and it was the first time I ever heard of them, and there were 2,000 people there.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, we want to see more of that, Robert, because, again, you know, I think people have to understand how beautiful it is to assert treaties. It actually is, you know, and I feel proud. I feel courageous. And I feel like I'm, you know, carrying on the work that our ancestors did, you know, to sign those treaties to protect our way of life. And not everybody understands that we're all treaty people, but we have to remind ourselves our ancestors signed with their ancestors, and there is that obligation, you know. And most importantly, what we have to understand is that when our ancestors signed those treaties, it was to protect our way of life. And that means a lot to me and the space that I hold. So it's an honor, actually, Robert, to assert treaty.
Well, you know, and it's funny, too, when I don't, you know, I'm kind of reminiscing with you right now, Nancy, but a few years ago when you were started working with MN350, the angle was to go at this in a treaty way. And when that was brought up, a lot of people were saying, that's brilliant. That's the way to go and fight this.
Right. You know, and quite honestly, it is. And I think, you know, with our recent court win, we had a historic win there. We proved that the state of Minnesota lacks subject matter jurisdiction over the Anishinaabe protecting their natural resources on or off the reservation. And we might have ceded our land, meaning we gave title away, but not once did we ever surrender our inherent right to hunt, fish, travel, and gather. And I think, you know, showing up and holding these kind of spaces and creating that coexistence is what we need to see more of. And so, again, it's an honor to do this work and create more spaces where we can collectively come together as treaty people and continue to write our story of what a new future could look like.
Yeah, and you know, that's awesome. And I just want to say too that it's always really our privilege here at Native Roots Radio to have you on every Tuesday. We get a lot of feedback, whether it's emails or just messages from YouTube and Facebook, and it's exciting. The energy and the intelligence that you work on up in the deep north, we like to call that the deep north. and keeping moving. And it's a daunting job that you have up there. So I just want to say a big peeny gigi. That means thank you in the sacred voice of Ho-Chunk, by the way. Ho-wah.
Ho-wah. There you go, Robert. You know, I shared a link in there from YouTube in the chat as well. And if people could copy and paste that, it's like a 5-minute video from whytreatiesmatter.org. And, you know, sometimes the work can be a little bit challenging, but when it does get in that kind of way, Robert, I watch that video. And I watch it like 2 or 3 times. And sometimes I'm even moved to tears when I watch it. And what it does is it reminds me that I'm not going to ever stop doing what I'm doing. And I know these are my original instructions to do what I'm doing. So, again, it's been an honor to create space and to build this movement. And we look forward to what's next, Robert. And so I want to share a little of that next week and then do a little Treaty 101 again to move people out of November and into the rest of the year until we get to November of 2023. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and time goes fast. I just wanted to, before we let you go, November was election month too, not only a groovy Native American month, but it was election month, and I just want to give you a big shout out all the work that you did on Rock the Vote Native style, but also what you do up in the deep north of registering and door knocking. I just want to give you a personal peeny gigi thank you for that. And you know, we have a lot of guests on here, and like yourself, it's been my honor to you know, amplify doers' work like yourself, and you are a doer.
Right. You know, Robert, that reminds me, I got a phone call yesterday from the DFL organizing unit here in Beltrami County, and they're recommending that I run for a director position because of the good work that I've done in the last couple of years within their party. And again, I like to identify as a treaty person, not a DFLer. But again, you know, it's Republicans, the Democrats, no matter what political party you belong to, you have to uphold those treaties in a good way. So I think I'm going to consider to join that, so we have another seat at a table, Robert. And I think it's an opportunity to keep doing the good work.
Wow. And then I can have you on another day to talk about that. Ho!
Oh, what?
Yeah. Hey, we were with Nancy Bolio. I always want to say Bemidji 350, but really the mothership MN350.
Right.
So glad to have you on, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Miigwech.
Oh, wow. That was Nancy Bolio of MN350. Up next, Ogma and I doing a little chit-chat on the news and what's going on. Great to have Nancy on. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, oh, wait, do that. Oh, there we go. Wow, your howl sounds a little off there today. Hey, Ogma, it was great having Nancy on as always. I'm wondering too, can you give out that information about the YouTube video about treaties?
Treaty people, yeah. So the YouTube video is called "We Are All Treaty People." It's the full book option, and it's put out by Anishinaabek Nation. That's the YouTube channel. There are four parts, so you can watch them on that. Parts one through four are on YouTube, and I wish we had time to air it, Robert, but it's 24 minutes long, so we'd have to schedule a little bit more time.
Oh, or we could just run long and do it on Facebook someday. That'd be cool,
yes,
too. Yes. Because we have a good amount of people watching us here on Facebook, too. So going long, we have civic media cut off on the time. But, it's something to think of. So, hey, do you have any other news that you weren't able to squeak in there? I think it's really important that we really start talking about PolyMet and what's going on, but also our relatives in Wisconsin and with Line 5 and those pesky things that are popping up here that are not in a good way. And I know Ho-Chunk Nation, for example, in Wisconsin has really made a statement in the past about how they are against pipelines going through anywhere, but especially their sacred lands.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess one of the other pieces of news that I had that I didn't get to share in that first segment was an article that just came out by Grist. And it says that Canada's Indigenous Services Agency is failing, and climate disasters are intensifying, poor emergency management puts Indigenous people at higher risk. The Canada Auditor General reported that Indigenous Services of Canada, the federal department which is responsible for coordinating emergency management services to First Nations, has failed to provide Indigenous communities with adequate resources to deal with climate disasters. And the audit found that the department spent nearly four times more on emergency recovery than on emergency preparedness. And that really puts First Nations communities in greater risk of harm from climate disasters. First Nations communities in Canada are 18 times more likely to be evacuated in the wake of climate disasters than non-Indigenous communities. And we've seen some of that happen here stateside in the United States. Up in Alaska, there was that massive tidal wave. And there was a lot of Native Nations and First Nations communities up there in Canada that were stranded and flooded out, and they were for quite some time there left to manage all those issues within their own communities with very limited resources. So when we talk about these issues that MN350 works on, that Honor the Earth works on, that all these other groups that we've talked about on Native Roots Radio over the last since its inception, is these groups are supporting the work of those Native communities and the people who come out of those Native communities, like Nancy Beaulieu, who are getting their hands dirty, so to speak, within the colonized spaces to ensure that there is funding, that there is action, and that these things are being talked about in spaces where they would not normally be talked about.
Perfect. And I mean, that's an excellent point. And I think, you know, not to blow our own horn, but we've been in the fight for 6 years, as you were saying earlier, and amplifying this knowledge. And, you know, me personally, Ogma, I've learned so much with having guests like Nancy and, you know, and people like Bob Blake that's talking about renewable energy. And, you know, It's been a great ride here on Native Roots Radio because of the great guests we've had over the years.
Yes, it definitely has. And, you know, some of the great sponsors that we've had, too, where, you know, we've got all of these people that are coming out to support this. And we've got community members who are willing to come on and talk about these things for our show. And we really wouldn't have a show if it weren't for all of those sponsors, right, and for all of those people. And for that, I'm really, really grateful to people like Nancy and yourself and Wendy for starting the show in the first place. I mean, I think as a Native person, when I first got involved with Native Roots Radio a few years ago, I was really looking for something like this show, something that talked about the issues that were important to me as a Native person and talked about them directly and frankly. And issues about the environment are also incredibly important to me. And those things are intersectional issues. You really can't talk about environmental issues without talking about Indigenous people. Like you were saying earlier, Robert, Indigenous people are responsible for about 70% of the biodiversity left on the planet right now. The remaining biodiverse environments are being protected by Indigenous people throughout the world. And you just can't have a good conversation without connecting the two.
Yeah, and I talked about my history really fighting and climate justice really started with Standing Rock personally, but I know you and your sister and your uncle have been involved for quite a few years prior to that.
Yeah, so prior to Standing Rock, I was involved in an encampment that held space in Leonard, Minnesota, regarding the Line 3 pipeline, actually. So part of the Sandpiper, or one of the pipelines in Minnesota, I believe it's Line 3, but it may have been called something different at the time, runs through lands that were ceded by Red Lake Nation. And as far as we were aware at the time, there was no arrangement between Red Lake Nation and the pipeline company. So we went and occupied the space for an entire winter, actually. A lot of cold camping and drawing attention to the fact that we were in that space. And unfortunately, that encampment ended, kind of slowly fizzled out, but the work and what was happening with that work continued for myself, my father until his passing, my uncle, and my sister. So my eldest daughter is 9 years old now, and she was born during that encampment. I camped out there when I was pregnant with her. So that was going on about 10 years ago. She'll be 10 in May. So yeah. It's been a long time and it's been a long fight, and to see the work coming to fruition through shows like this, through the work that Nancy has done, through all these other organizations that have been involved, it makes my heart really grateful. But I also know that that work is nowhere near close to done.
Well, you know, and you talk about our sponsors sponsoring us and keeping us going and keeping us alive, but also I want to throw a quick shout out to our Patreon. Since we opened up Patreon when COVID hit and all our sponsors had to go away, because, you know, we're basically not sponsored by big corporations where they could withstand something like COVID, and these small mom and pa operations had to close. And I just want to give a big shout out to the people that have supported us through Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've gotten some new Patreons, Patreon supporters. Just in the last week, we've had two new Patreon supporters. So thank you so much, everybody who's generously donating to Native Roots Radio's Patreon. And I just want to remind you, if you'd like an on-air shout out, you can donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. We give on-air shout outs for, I think, just about everybody that donates to our Patreon.
Yeah, it's been a while since we gave a shout out, but yeah, definitely. definitely. And we, it's just been awesome, you know. And just to back up real quick, got to tell everyone, our store is still open downtown Minneapolis. My Weehaw, my second daughter, Jelaine, is running the store down there, and it's all Native arts and Native. Everyone in that store, we can tell you who drew it or who designed it, what Native, and there's no appropriation there, and we're really excited, and it's been really.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's Yap advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.